week is Wednesday. And it was kind of that way growing up. But growing up, church was on Tuesday and Thursday, so Wednesday was not a church night, so I liked it. And now I like it because it is a church night. Yeah, I grew up. You know, what can you say? I am always amazed at how rich the Word of God is for any day, any time that you just step into it and embrace it a little bit. It is the help for everything you go through. There's instruction in it. There's correction. Everything you need to lift you up, to set you on a straight path. It's just, God is all wise. And you don't have to go to a particular place to find one thing you're looking for, because the answers are everywhere. You can just start reading and you're going to find something there that blesses you. And I'm going to go to John 16 and 24 because I want to talk about something tonight that is a great benefit to all of us. And my title of my Bible study is Joyful. And that means to be full of joy. And God has given us that benefit. It doesn't abide with us as far as happiness does. It's not happiness, but joy is different. Happiness is about circumstances. We can be happy because of a birthday. That's why they call it a happy birthday. We can be happy because it's a day off. We can be happy because it's vacation. But joy is different. Joy is different. John 16 and 24. Jesus says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name." He's telling his disciples, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Yes. Thank you. He wants us to have joy, but it's not just joy. He said, I want you to have joy that's full. Right. No room for less joy. No room for a hybrid, a mixture. But he wants our joy to be full. Joy comes from the Greek word chara, chara. And that word means cheerfulness. It means calm delight. So that, you see, is not happiness or how we feel because what is happening. Right. But this abides when circumstances aren't necessarily lined up. This is joy. It's whenever we are looking beyond circumstances, really. And we're focused on eternal things and eternal God. 1 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9, "Whom having seen..." Or whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now it simply means this: the destination that God has in mind with this relationship is the salvation of our souls. That's the journey. But from here until we're done, we walk a path of glory of God. It's a path that He shines His love on us, and it's a glorious journey.
Yes, amen.
At least the option for that is there. He said, until now you have asked nothing in my name, He told His disciples in John 16 and 24. He said, You have it. Now, He wasn't condemning them for not asking. Jesus was just saying, we've been together.
Right.
And whenever the people were hungry, He said, "What do you have?" And they said, "This little boy has some bread and some fish." And y'all know the story. 5,000 were fed.
Right.
Just not counting women and children. Then, you know, 4,000, not counting women and children again another time. So they saw what He could do. So you don't have to ask Him, are we going to be able to eat today? You don't have to ask Him that. You know, they knew He was going to provide. He could speak and demons would have to flee. He could touch and somebody would be healed. There was a woman that He spoke to that came to Him and said, "I need you to help my daughter. She's tormented by a spirit. And he said, you know, how can I help you? We're not of the same nationality. And he wasn't being racist. He wasn't being hateful. He was probing her issue. Because, see, she came to him as if somebody was lower than him. She came to him, I don't deserve to be here. So he called her on it. How can I help you? Syrophoenician woman, you're of mixed race. How can I help you? And then she spoke up. It caused her to get desperate and say, but my daughter, Lord, please, even the dogs that we feed around our table, they eat the crumbs. I'm telling you, what you can do is not anything. It's like throwing a crumb to a dog. I'm telling you how I feel. And because of what she said, he provoked that response out of her, and he said, go home, your daughter is already delivered. That hour, that moment, the daughter was delivered. And don't you know that she had joy? There was joy in her life right then. Yes, there was joy when she got home, and he already spoke it, and she didn't have to doubt. She knew, you've just turned our world right side up. So he's telling the disciples, until now you haven't asked anything in my name. We have it all when I'm with you. He was just with the disciples. And I'll tell you, when the King of Kings is in your company, there's nothing really more that you need to ask for.
All right.
He's feeding the thousands. He's saying, peace be still on the lake. And the boat suddenly was filled with water. But then he said, peace be still. And the storm stopped. And all the other little boats benefited from it also. Another storm, he comes walking on the water and gets into the boat. Remember? And Simon stepped out and walked a couple steps. His faith failed. But what Jesus was showing them is that I'm everything you need. I'm everything that you need. And it's no different now. Because he said, I'm with you. He said this, and John wrote this in John 14. He said, I'm with you right now, but there's a time when I'm going to be in you. That's powerful.
Yes, it is.
Because with you, he had 12 of them. 11 good ones. He affected them positively, except for Judas.
Right.
Wasn't that he couldn't do it. He took a well-rounded cross-cut of society, and he got a bad seed on purpose.
Yes.
But he was with them. He said, I'm with you. And being amongst the disciples was great and awesome. They got to see all those great things. But he said, I am going to be in you. And so he's setting them up for the church world. He's setting them up for the future when this is going to be distributed to thousands and thousands. And it is being even done so today. So think about it. When you have his presence, everything else pales in comparison. And yet people are still opting to go for things that only let them feel good for a moment. They'll go towards the dollar because the dollar makes them think they can be satisfied with it, but money doesn't satisfy.
Yeah.
Chemicals don't satisfy.
Right.
Jesus is saying, I'm your everything. I'm exactly what you have to have. When you have his presence, everything else really pales in comparison. Nothing compares to walking with the Lord right now. There is not one thing that compares to living for God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know I say it all the time, but if whatever your needs are, I just want to always remind you, go to God in prayer. Go to him in prayer and ask. And ask and ask and ask again. You know, Jesus wasn't condemning them for not asking. He was simply stating that things would certainly be different real soon. He said, right now you got me, but you need to start getting in the mode of asking. They needed to start thinking about asking for the things they needed. And when you ask, I think he was trying to show them, picture me how I can do all these things. I can walk on water. I can feed the thousands. I can go past the pool of Bethesda and just tell the man to pick up his bed and walk. I can have a young man just wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam and he heals blindness. I can do all of that. Remember that whenever you're going about starting churches.
Amen.
Remember, don't forget. And so that's why we have all these accounts written of the things that Jesus did.
Amen.
And yet it says, the world couldn't hold all the books of the things that he did. The world couldn't contain the books because they didn't write about it all. He was always healing, doing things. So what he's telling them before he leaves, before he's crucified, he said, I'm trying to get you to understand, ask anything you want to ask in my name and I'll do it for you. You've got to ask. He said, at this point, you know, you've never had to, but there's going to be a time you're going to have to ask. And so when your joy is half full, that means your joy is less than full. It's not fullness of joy. It's just a hybrid. It's a weak joy. And I know what that feels like. It's joy mixed with reality. Joy mixed with, oh no. Seriously, you got joy in your soul, but you add just a pinch of, oh no. And it's, I got joy, but I got this dread. But I know what's happening. I know what's coming down the road. I know what tomorrow brings. It's joy, but what he's saying is, you take that little grimace part of your thought world and ask me what you need. What do you want me to do there? The greatest benefit really of all of that is the relationship grows deeper when you ask and he responds. Now here's this, you know, there's a rule here that we can't just ask foolish things. We can't ask God just foolishly and just name it and claim it. We can't do that because there's some things we don't need. Like your children might ask you, you know, can we have Christmas in August? And you're going to go, no, it comes in December. But they see something they want in August, and there's a season for that. And the Lord lets us understand there's seasons for things. And we might ask out a season, but by that asking, two things will happen. One of two, he's going to supply the need, or he's going to show us and give us the patience to wait until we understand where we were in error in asking. Right. Then we might say, well, then, you know, anybody could be asking anything, and you could make that excuse. No, if we have a relationship with him, he does something. There's something he has done, he will always do. And that is, and trust me, I could stand here all night telling you about things I prayed for and asked for that I never got. But what happens is this, as I begin to seek these things, as I begin to ask God to bring it into my world, Lord, I need this. This is something that would really help me. I begin to get clear vision, and I start seeing and I start feeling in here that I'm a little off on my request. And God starts, doesn't he do that? He starts turning you a little bit.
Yeah.
He just turns you, and you thought you were facing the right way, but then he turns you a little bit, and you change your request, and you say, all right, Lord, I want to pray what your will is. I didn't need that. I needed to go out and do this. And we understand it. It's the relationship. So we're not just using him as Amazon.com and saying, all right, I need it by tomorrow. If you don't mind, I'm just going to put my order in. Put it on my doorstep, please. There's an order to all of this. You can't even do that without it hurting you at some point. You got to pay for all that stuff. So God's not sitting there saying, you just start asking me. I'm just going to go throw in it. I'm going to fly drones over your house and just start dropping those good things in your backyard. No, there's purpose tied to it.
That's right.
He said, how many of you, if your son asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone? Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to give my hungry child a rock when he's asking for bread. Who in the world would do something like that? What he's showing us is the way you are with your children, that's how I am. He said, that's how I am. So when I asked mom, could I build a bonfire in the backyard? She said, no. Why? The grass is dead. It'll spread all everywhere. So when the grass is green, can I build one? No. I had to find out where the boundaries are. That's a kid asking. We do the same thing with God.
Yes, we do.
Lord, would you make me a millionaire? Trust me, I'll tithe on it. I'll give an offering. He don't even need to say no. We know the answer to that. Well, it don't hurt to ask. There's something in the asking, though. There's an intimacy in the asking. Every year, all over the world, I guess, Christmas time, there are Santa Clauses everywhere. They're not all real. The real one, you know, who knows? And children line up mainly for the photo, but they sit on his lap and tell him what they want. And Yeah, I think that'd get so tiring as the Santa, not the kid. But it's really not up to the Santa Claus. It's up to mom and dad. It's up to mom and dad to do that. But some people don't ever grow out of that mode. They still think Jesus is Santa Claus. And they think he's going to supply everything. They just got to ask it and he'll give it.
Yes.
But it doesn't work like that. Because see, when that kid goes there, we have a picture of one of our grandkids screaming, crying. They didn't sit in the lap. They didn't want to. So they don't all make it. But when they sit in that stranger's lap and they tell him, and then this picture snapped, and they leave, they're not thinking about that guy.
No.
They're wanting the PlayStation 2 or whatever the one is out now. They want the toys. The red suit guy doesn't matter. He doesn't enter into the picture. They don't lay awake thinking about him. They're thinking about the presents. I want the stuff. I want the stuff. But Jesus is not that. He's not the Santa Claus. Because they don't have a relationship with that guy wearing a costume. Jesus is saying, I want you to come and sit at my feet. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to hear you. And I want you to hear me. Because that draws us closer to him. And now, you know, there's frivolous stuff we ask for. There's frivolous things, and God can answer those. You know, if we have faith to believe it, and we need to have faith to believe that God can answer prayers. But understand, and this is a reminder tonight. It's just a reminder. The Lord is in it for the relationship. He will take you through places, knowing what you need to ask him for, and by that perseverance of you going before his face and saying, God, this is something I need. You build the relationship. You build a love for him. And when the prayer is answered, when the answer comes, then you have thanksgiving in your heart and you give him the glory for it. Amen. I know this is as simple as 2 + 2. But this is where the relationships are with him right here. Is we must ask and we must expect to receive. Can you say amen? When your joy is half full, it's something less than joy.
Amen.
And the Lord wants your joy to be full. The framework of this gospel was being formed during this time when the Lord was training these 12. And these were the years of learning and growing with the Lord. And they saw miracles, they saw signs, they saw wonders. And there was no limit to what he would do. And he fed thousands, walked on water, opened the blind eyes, raised the dead, he comforted the weak. They were about to turn a corner that was very necessary for this gospel story and for their own foundation, which was also the base of the church. They were getting ready to change their activity. They're about to change their mode of life. And so here they are. Jesus prophesied to them earlier that he said, you know, there's some tough times coming. You need to know that. There's some tough times coming. He prophesied to them. Get ready, get ready. Matthew 10 and 16, he said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and be harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake and as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. He's saying not when, if, but he's saying when it happens. It's going to happen. He said, you're going to go through some times. They're going to deliver you up. Don't worry about the words that will come out of your mouth, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. I'm going to be that close to you. I'm going to be that involved in your dilemma. For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. That's intimate. That's a relationship. When I open my mouth and he gives me the words to say to somebody who's telling me, now you prove that this God is real. He said, you're going to be able to speak the words I put in you, and it's going to come out, and you're going to say the right things. Until now. You know, until now, he said, you know, you've asked, you haven't needed to ask anything. You've had it. You know, Simon Peter came to him and it was, you know, Lord, I got to pay taxes. He said, hey, go catch a fish. Go catch a fish. And the first fish you catch, bring the money that you find in his mouth. And he went out there and just got a fish. He brought it back, opened it up, and clunk, clunk, gold fell out of his mouth. He goes, here, go pay taxes for you and me. The other disciples might have thought, what about us? You didn't go fish. It doesn't say that, but I think it's just a simple story. I will provide. I'll find a way to give you what you need. But just keep coming to me. I want you to come to me. It's me. Life, this life, this very busy life, it'll be a distraction. It'll cause us to pull off and we'll get lost in the problems around us get bowed up over the work that we're doing. And it's good to do a good job. It's great to be great employees. It's even better to be great moms and dads, husbands and wives. But we can get so engrossed in the things that we're doing that we forget about that relationship. He's the one that's hovering, saying, what can I do for you? I need to work some things out. I need to be involved in you. Looking back, we can all see where we might have failed to take advantage of opportunities. I know I have. I've made a lot of great decisions in hindsight. I'm real good at hindsight decisions. I can say, you know what I should have done? You ever done that deal where, you had an argument? This happened when we were kids a lot. With somebody, or a standoff, a scuffle at school, and you get back to your buddies, and you're like, you know what I should have said? And man, you can go around and around about what I should have said. And you can laugh, and you can talk about what you would have done, but it's past. That didn't happen. It's not going to work out that way. I was at a service station one time, and you know, you grow up and you grow wise. Years ago, let me go back to this, and then this will make more sense. We were driving down the road, kids in the car, and I saw these young men taunting this elderly lady in a car. And I had Jared was a baby, Kayla wasn't born yet, my wife was in the front seat, and I just swerved my car up and I just blocked them. I ran in front of them so that lady could get past them. And then when they tried to scoot over to get up, I don't know why it was a poor old lady. And they were just laughing. And when they tried to change lanes, I just kind of eased over in front of them. And, oh, I'm sorry, like that. And we turned right, and we're going down Pine Island Road. And, man, they come past me. And I was waiting on them. I knew something was going to happen. And they threw a big old juicy orange and hit the side of my car with it. Like, wow, wasn't ready for an orange. And it was that moment that I knew that I have grown up a little bit. My wife was speaking very gently to me. She is saying, honey, we've got a son in our car now, and so you don't need to get involved in these things. Not that I ever did it before. I wasn't a gangster. But I was just, it angered me that they were picking on this lady. And she says, you've got a family. She said it just like that. And it dawned on me. Kind of a play on words. Thank you for getting that. I realized I'm married. I have kids. And you know what? I just slowed right on down. Well, not that I would have done anything else, because I'd saved the day for that elderly lady. It was really unfortunate that they were doing that. And so, flash ahead to 7 years ago, maybe. I'm at a service station. And this poor elderly lady, again, was trying to put gas in her car, and she was wincing. And this gentleman beside her was out of his car, filling his with gas, but he wanted to let us all on the north side of town hear his radio playing. And it was rattling the parts of his car. His license plate was rattling, and my chest was rattling. And that same feeling came over me. Bowed up. But I heard the voice of my wife say, honey, you got a family. But this time she said, you're a grown man and you have a church. She wasn't there, but I heard that voice. You're a pastor. Let it go. It's just noise. And so I had to just pump my fuel and got in my car and just shook my head how sad it is that poor lady is having a migraine because he wants her to hear his music, if you call it that. loud. It's one of them kind that you had to have a gasoline-powered generator to power that kind of sound. I mean, it was amazing. And I drove off, and I'm still here today to tell about it. Because you know, people can do some crazy things. There's a point where we can look back and say, I was that, but now I'm this. We grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, don't we? And so Jesus was telling them, saying, up to this point, there'd been really no need for you to ask me for anything. But there's going to be a time when you're going to have to change into something else. You're not going to have me here just speaking the words and healing the sick and the lame and the blind. But you're going to have to execute with your own faith. You're going to have to believe for yourself. You're going to have to grow. And you're going to have to get involved in the invisible realm that I'm asking you to live in. And my spirit's going to tell you the things you got to say. And it's going to lead and guide you. You got to know those things. And he was letting them understand we can't stay back there in the old days. But we've got to go forward. And so there was a closeness there that provided shelter with him. You know, when we get that close to the Lord, when we can get to that place where we know that we're able to step out in faith and ask him what we need.
Right.
Because the reason we can do that, because he doesn't start with mountains. He doesn't start with blind eyes being opened. He doesn't start with feeding 5,000. He starts with little things, doesn't he? He starts with, I need a raise on my job. I got a situation with a coworker. He starts with those kinds of things. He starts with, I've got personal issues, Lord, and I need you to help me find the path out of this. And we come up for prayer. And during that prayer, we may be praying about a toothache, but God just touches us and suddenly we walk out of here and realize, I don't have that issue anymore. I don't have that cloud over my mind anymore. Something has happened to me. And then you remember that you prayed a week or three ago and ask him, Lord, please help me with this situation. And he just did at a time when you were looking the other way. And you find that he just blessed you. And it was not that hard. You just had to pray and wait on God's blessings. I'm talking about being full of joy. The way we are full of joy is that we know he's always there.
Yes.
To guide us, to feed us, yes. To help us, to instruct us, to direct us. It is the greatest life there is. He goes, up to this point, you haven't needed anything because they had been provided for in storms, food, teaching, proofs of their decision to leave everything and follow Jesus. And Jesus was certainly their proof of God robed in flesh. They understood that. But this next level is the one we live on. This one is important because Jesus was telling them that the future would require faith in the unseen. He goes, you've got to understand there's another level here. You see me, you watch me, but there's going to be another level you're going to have to go to. And in the times when you can't feel him, it's a blessing to feel his presence when we're here.
Yes, yes.
But there'll be places and seasons. When I say seasons, I mean you may be here when everyone else is excited and dancing and jumping and you do not feel a thing. There'll be seasons and the Lord will take you through those things or you may go through those things.
Right.
But there's going to be darkness. There's going to be no ability to feel what you used to feel. And don't question yourself and say, well, am I backslid? Am I away from God? No, well, he is trying to teach us to learn to worship him with intensity, not for the benefit of what we're feeling, but just because he is God and we're his servants. And he leads us through those times so that we can be what he's asked us to be. John 16 and 23 and 4. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you.
Yes, yes.
There's a day, and he's letting them know. Now, this is just before his crucifixion's coming right up. And he said, but I'm trying to put all this in your head here, that there's a coming a time that you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. They didn't have to. The name was him, and he could do everything they needed him to do. Because you're going to ask in my name. He said, ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Don't stop asking him. Don't neglect to ask Him for what you need Him to do, because He needs to keep your joy topped off. You need to have joy that's overflowing. You need to have joy that doesn't stop, because if He helped me with this, He'll help me with that. He helped me with this in my past, and now I've got Him coming up in the future. He's ready to do things for us, but it's all for the sake of our joy. He said, I want your joy to be full. In that day, the day the Lord has made. It's the time following the resurrection and the day of Pentecost. And there's two ways for this word ask is being used. One is to ask as an inquiry, to inquire, and the other one is to ask for assistance. Lord, would this happen? The other one is, Lord, can this happen? I want to tell you, God is just as able to answer your question as He is to fulfill your need. It doesn't matter to Him. Our faith might be a little more straightened, a little more strained, but God can do either one. Yes. He can give you an answer or He can bless you. Until now, look back, church, and see how things have been in your life. Now, there's going to be, you know, some of you can look back and say, well, we've had a tough few weeks, maybe a tough year, I don't know. Or you can look back and say, I see God. I see God moving things around. I see God coming through when I needed Him. I see God. He said, if you've not asked anything, you know, He said, well, that's the issue. He goes, until this point, you haven't needed to. But we need to today. See, we're leaving ourselves unprotected by the knowledge of God's power and goodness if we haven't asked Him anything. The difference is a powerful God or a memorial God. A memorial is a wonderful thing. It talks about something that has already happened. Memorials are good. I like memorials. War memorials. Memorials of many heroes. Those are nice. But I don't want to just dwell on memorials. Testimonies. I love testimonies. Testimonies strengthen us. Yes. Your testimony helps me. My testimony helps you. Because we all struggle. We all go through things. And our faith is tested. It's tested. God will not let our faith stay at level one, whatever that might be. Low faith. The beginning. He won't let us stay at the beginning stages of faith. He will not. He is not content to allow us to stay weak. He wants us to be strong and grow. Matthew 7 and 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? You know, we don't ever need to settle for the serpent. We need to go back and ask again. Verse 11, if you then being evil, or of this fleshly world, of this earthly realm, he said, if you are just earthly, and you know how to give good gifts to your children, you know how to give them exactly what they asked for. You know what really gets them excited. You know how to make your children happy. You know right now, parents, if you've got little children, you know what would thrill them kids, don't you? You know. He said, if you know how to do that, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who just ask? He doesn't just want to do it. He needs to do it. And we need Him to do that for us. We need Him to bless us. We need Him to give us what we ask for. Because that draws us into His realm and draws Him into our realm. Creates a testimony. It creates a picture story that we can tell our children. And they can hear and they can know what God has done. I've heard the stories of my parents' early years, and my brother's stories are more colorful than mine. Theirs was the time when mom and dad were moving a little bit, and they remember being in Dallas and then moving to Arizona. I was there, I just don't remember it. I was one. Coming back to Dallas, and dad got a job at General Motors, and some point in there, you know, 63, 64. And that's when I remember. My first memories was church and dark basement and the smell of it and the fried pies. And you know, that was my first memories, was church and going to prayer meeting and having to sit there until they got through at prayer meeting and how terribly boring it was. You know, I just remember it being painful. But at for a 4 or 5 year old, but I grew up in a stable, very, very stable household. Everything the same. I told my parents, I said, our house is the most boring house ever. See, it was boring. There wasn't any drama. I grew up later and realized that wasn't boring, that was blessed. I was very blessed. When one day is just like the one before it, that's a blessing. You know, it was a blessing. I had a bike. I could go do what I wanted to do on a bike. You know, I wasn't abused. But I just, you know, wanted the drama, I guess. I was a kid. But looking back, I'm so thankful today to my God for boring. And I'm thankful that my pastor instilled something in me, that you don't have to settle for what you've got and where you are. Because he taught this and preached this all the time. If you need him, you need to ask him. But you got to build that relationship. Let us stand. How much more is where we are today? That's really where we're living. How much more? It's up to me and it's up to you. The joy of the Lord is available to those who ask in faith, believing. The joy of the Lord. I'd like to ask you, we're going to close in prayer. Think about something right now. What is it? And this is the great thing about my mother-in-law's here. My wife was raised in a Pentecostal home, but so was my mother-in-law. And our kids were. And now in this church, our kids are raising their kids in a Pentecostal apostolic home. That's a blessing. That is a great blessing. But it's also a blessing to find the truth at any time, because God is so able. So here's what I would like you to do, is picture in your mind, what is the thing you need God to do? And I don't want you to just pray for it today, but I want this to be your prayer going forward, because we need to ask him right now. We need to ask him right now. And you know what? When I'm where I am right now, and I've got grandmothers that died in the faith, two of them, I'm blessed. And so for me to say, God, I need, I've got. But Lord, I've got others I can pray for. All right. I want to pray for some that might need something. Can we do that right now? Can we raise our hands? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you are our helper today. God, you are the one that answers our prayers. Lord, you're the one that hears what we say. God, we know you and we know you love us. And Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus right now. Oh, I feel presence of God here because somebody's reaching out and touching him by faith. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you direct our asking, direct our request today, that we pray. Lord, we pray the will of God and the purpose of God. And the power of God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, let your will be done, Lord. Let your will be done. In earth as in heaven, let your hope.